You're listening to WSCL 89.5 FM. My name is Christopher Rank, and I'm your program director here at this radio station. We are joined today by a very special guest, Mary Tyler Upshaw, with Salisbury University. And she also has many other hats, and she is a musician and knows a lot about music. So without further ado, let me begin by giving you the phone number. If you'd like to support us during this spring membership drive, the phone number is 410-543-6895, or you can go to our website, delmarvapublicmedia.org, anytime, day or night, and you can make an online donation. So, Mary Tyler Upshaw, tell us about what you do and how music is important in your life.
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on. I love listening to your station, and my husband and I have been supporters for several years now. How music is important in my life. Oh my goodness. They're so inextricably linked between my actual life and my musical life that I can't tell where one starts and one stops. I started performing professionally when I was 8 years old. And before that, I got my start like so many other musicians in the church. I was so fortunate that I went to a very large church, and the choir director was actually a graduate of Westminster Choir College. Oh. And so he had these little three-year-olds singing and doing these vocal sirens and all of these other exercises that I truly attribute to how I've progressed as a musician.
Which is, I think, true for a lot of our listeners. We've heard from a lot of our listeners who say that they are involved in their local church. They might be in the choir, they might be an organist, they might just go and enjoy it. I know that we tend to play a lot of choral programming on this radio station. On Tuesday afternoons or Tuesday evenings, we play a program called Sounds Choral at 9 o'clock. And then on Sunday at 7 a.m., there's a program called With Heart and Voice. And that's usually organ music and choral music. And it usually has something to do with the liturgical calendar. And we play those programs precisely because our audience, having that exact same background that you did, either they're active members of their church or they grew up participating in that. And it's one of the few public forms of participatory music that are left for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And it's such a part of your history and a part of people's cultures. And it's, of course, one way that people are able to feel that connection with the people that have gone before us.
So let's talk about specific pieces of music in general. By the way, once again, the phone number to call if you'd like to support us during this membership drive is 410-543-6895, 410-543-6895. We're speaking with Mary Tyler Upshaw. Tell us a little bit more about what you do, how you're involved with music in general.
Right now, I wear several different hats with music. I have been a member of the faculty at Salisbury University in their music department, and I've also taught through the Presto program. I also currently am the fine arts director and music teacher at St. Francis de Sales Catholic School here in Salisbury. And then I've had a private studio for several years before coming to Salisbury.
So you've dealt with all different ages of people learning about music, from adults to children.
Absolutely. And, when I was coming along, there was this big push that children should just sing for, have fun and shouldn't have formal music training. And while I do believe that can be the case, I also firmly believe that children need to be taught proper technique, and it needs to be done in a fun way. So I follow a curriculum, and it encompasses music theory, as well as singing and proper technique, and all in this game-like format.
Hmm. So it's both they're learning the skills that they're going to need later if they pursue a music career, and they're having fun at the same time.
Absolutely, because that's what music education is about. We're not always trying to bring the next, you know, big metropolitan opera star to light or find the next Broadway star. It's about teaching and appreciating a love of music and the art form and the mathematics that go along with it and the philosophy that goes along with it and the literature. All of that comes into play.
Which is one of the arguments I make all the time to parents about why they should have classical music on in their house. You know, I'm always on my high horse saying that, you know, there's a free service for great music you can have in your house 24 hours a day. It's called radio, WSCL 89.5. You can always have it on. You can, it's one of the few things that you can leave on and walk away from the room and your kids can listen to it and you don't really have to worry about anything that they shouldn't be listening to. And if there is anything saucy, it's in Italian anyway.
So, and then you just have the benefit of them learning another language. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my son has been doing Zoom school. And one of the things that I found out is that when we wake up in the morning, I turn on the radio and we have the classical music going in the background and it sets the tone for, you know, it's, oh, it's time for class, you know, and it makes it a lot more smooth getting into class rather than, you know, going from that TV show that they're watching that they don't want to stop watching and going to Zoom class or things like that. So you are also a fan of the opera, and coming up on Saturday, it might be this Saturday, we're going to be having some operas. So tell us about your feelings towards opera.
Well, I love opera. When I, before moving to Salisbury, I was a professional opera singer.
Oh.
I sang with the Washington National Opera as well as the New Orleans Opera for several.
Can you tell us which roles you performed, if you don't mind?
I didn't do any roles. I was in the chorus with them, but I got to perform with some really big names. Placido Domingo was my very first Washington Opera performance. He was in it, and I remember people trying to get tickets and they were going for $5,000 a piece.
Wow.
I was in college and I was like, oh my gosh, I could buy a car for that. But learning all of these really cool things. And this past week, if anybody watched the Grammys, Eric Owens, Porgy and Bess won for won the Grammy. And I performed with him when he was in DC. And so that's really cool. I got to do Otello with him.
That's really neat. So you got to see the opera. Yeah, that is really, really cool. And, you know, we've been playing opera here on this radio station from the Met for as long as I can remember. And it's one of those things that listeners have requested, and gosh darn it, they love hearing their opera. You know, those old familiar favorites, like, you know, every year they always play a Carmen, and every year you're always going to hear, you know, you're always going to hear Turandot and all those kind of things. But it's also nice to hear the new operas too. Last year they did a really interesting Philip Glass opera. I can't remember the name of it, but it was based on, it's Akhenaten. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went into it thinking, oh, geez, I don't know if I can sit through an entire Philip Glass opera, but I listened to the whole thing and it was actually really delightful to listen to.
New operas, you know, they take a different spin, shall we say. I've been involved in two opera premieres in my life. And of course, you always go into it with trepidation because, like so many of your listeners, when I would go to my grandparents' house or even my parents, when we were in the car, we always had the Met broadcast on every Saturday. You know, I have classmates from college who actually wrote an opera, and you always go into it with this trepidation, like, oh, this is going to be so good. And in the back of your brain going, please don't let it be atonal, and please understand it, and please let it be harmonic. And, you know, so you're sitting there with bated breath waiting for, you know, for something experimental.
Yeah, but you know, we need to be challenged a little bit, and sometimes it's good to have both. It's good to have both the old familiar favorites and the new things that can challenge us in many different ways.
Absolutely, and you know, some of the things that some of these newer operas are doing is taking more modern themes. The mm-hmm. opera I was just talking about was talking about the Black Sox scandal. The uh-huh. Chicago Black Sox scandal. And I believe they premiered it in Detroit. And so that's really cool because that's the heart of where that was all happening.
Excellent. You're listening to WSCL 89.5 FM. We are talking to Mary Tyler Upshaw about music and about how music is important in your life. The theme of our spring membership drive, by the way, is the love of music. And we as a staff, we got together and we had some interesting conversations about why we do what we do, particularly in this challenging year when it's not been the most pleasant thing. And it's been difficult to run a radio station remotely. There's many days that none of us can actually come in, especially during the beginning part of this pandemic, because, you know, we were afraid or, you know, we were nervous about how many people could be in a room and things like that. So let me ask you, what have you been listening to since March started? What have you been, is there anything that's been helping you get through this trying time, music-wise?
It's interesting that you say that. I had a production that was going into production 4 days before the shutdown happened. So we had a performance for the school, which was the first time we'd ever run through the entire show. And that was Frozen Junior. I was really excited about it. And for a while, I could not listen to any of that Frozen music. Not that, you know, it was on my regular rotation, but it was painful to listen to because it was so hard knowing that my kids had worked so hard.
Were they really disappointed that they couldn't?
They were. We had a performance planned that was going to be a sensory-friendly performance, which was going to be the first sensory-friendly performance on the Eastern Shore, and we were really excited about that. So that's all come back around.
What's a sensory-friendly performance? What does that mean?
The music isn't as loud. The lighting is not as,
I understand.
And so then again, the performers were all in eighth grade. So one of the things that we talked about was that some of the people would be so excited, but they weren't used to coming to the theater. So they should expect people to call out and things of that nature. And so that's one of the things that we rehearsed and how they had to keep character because of course as eighth graders, that's one of the hardest things. And when something is not typical to what you expect, you have a tendency to get the giggles, whether it's appropriate or not. Mm-hmm. So I was really, really sad that we weren't able to do that. So I started going back and listening to a bunch of music that just gave me comfort. You know, I was listening to Britain's War Requiem, which probably doesn't give a lot of people comfort, but, and then this cantata by Bach, which I'm so excited because Dr. Folger over at the university is going to be performing that this spring.
Oh, nice.
He knows that it's one of my favorite pieces of music. And so I'm actually going to get to perform with them. And, that helped me through, my current students are doing a production, and while we're not able to do it sensory friendly, we are going to do it with closed captioning, and so that we can get out to that audience that doesn't get the live theater experience.
Excellent. Before we let you go, if you don't mind me asking, do you have a favorite piece of opera that you just can't get enough of?
My favorite piece of opera is probably going to be The Marriage of Figaro. It's the first opera I ever had a role in. And then when I met my husband, he was in graduate school for set design, and he was actually working on The Marriage of Figaro at that time. So on our first date, which, you know, first dates usually aren't that long, we ended up talking about opera for 3 hours.
That's a sign that you've got a keeper right there.
Yes, Excellent. Marriage of Figaro will always have that special place in my heart for that very reason.
Okay. We've been talking with Mary Tyler Upshaw with Salisbury University and also St. Francis de Sales. She knows a thing or two about music, and I think she would invite you as well to pick up that phone, dial 410-543-6895, 410-543-6895, or visit us on our website, delmarvapublicmedia.org. Mary Tyler Upshaw, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks, Chris. And if I could say one more thing,
sure.
I'm also the vice president of the Eastern Shore Choral Directors Association, and we are still doing our All Shore Choral Festival this year, concert. It looks very different, but supporting your local classical music station is one way to really help the performing arts continue. They came out yesterday with a budget for a state education and said that almost $23 million is going to get cut from the fine arts.
Wow.
So please keep supporting the arts because you love it.
Exactly. Do you have a website for the Choral Society? Is there somewhere people can go for more information, I'm asking?
You would just Google Eastern Shore Choral Directors Association.
Got it.
And it'll pop up.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much. Patty, it was nice to see your face.